Good morning. As it is the day in which we celebrate Christ's ascension and return back to his Father in heaven, I thought it might be helpful to record a brief prayer service for you so that you could spend some time in reflection about what Jesus' ascension can mean for you. So let's begin together. From Hebrews 4, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let us pray. God of Majesty, you led the Messiah through suffering into risen life. You took him up to the glory of heaven. Clothe us with the power promise from on high. Send us forth to the ends of the earth as heralds of repentance and witnesses of Jesus Christ, first born from the dead, who lives with you now and always in unity with the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Hear this litany that is assigned for today when we think of the ascension. It says, "Arise, O Lord, in your strength, and we will praise you for your glory. Let us pray with joy to Christ at the right hand of God, saying, you are the King of glory. You have raised the weakness of our flesh. Heal us from our sins and restore to us the full dignity of life. You are the King of glory. May our faith lead us to the Father as we follow the road you trod. You are the King of glory. You have promised to draw all people to yourself. Let no one of us be separated from your whole body, for you are the King of glory. Grant that by our longing we may join in your kingdom, where your humanity and ours is glorified. You are the King of glory. You are the true God, and you will be our judge. So lead us to contemplate your tender mercies. You are the King of glory." Please join me in a brief silence. O King of glory and Lord of hosts, who ascended triumphantly above the heavens, do not abandon us, but send us the promised one, the Spirit of truth. Blessed be the holy and undivided Trinity, now and forever. Amen. The text that would be appropriate to read for today comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I invite you to listen and hear the story again. Acts 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." While he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, holy God, loving God, we are thankful for this year's story and for our part that we play in it. Now, as we stop and think about that story from Acts, speak once again to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. As I began with today, I told you that this is an important event today, what happens here in the life of the church, that many throughout the kingdom only have a brief awareness of. It is the ascension. Maybe they know it happens, but they're not certain when it happens or what its importance is. In the Protestant church, we don't often speak about this moment regularly, but it is a date that we should recognize, for it is the beginning of the church. Pentecost next week, as I have said many times, will be about the empowerment of the church as the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples in the upper room. But today, as Jesus takes the disciples out to that place and returns to his Father in heaven, the birth of the church you participate in, begins. It happens. The ascension of our Lord is the moment where the disciples find themselves in a unique theological situation. They are disoriented. They thought they understood what it meant to follow Jesus. They believed the direction the ministry he was teaching them was clear, was straightforward. Even after his resurrection, the now remaining disciples seem to be coming to terms with what Jesus with them looks like. He may not have a human body, as they recalled it for 3.5 years, but he's here. And this is what our new normal is. New normal, a phrase we're familiar with. But at the ascension, once again, the expectations are shaken by the Messiah. I imagine, like I've said, that they feel very disoriented about the whole thing. This is not to be taken as they felt confusion, as if their faith was lacking or the proof of Jesus' Messiahship was drawn into question. Instead, the things in their life which seem solid and unshakable and clear are now mixed with the disorientation that comes with Jesus leaving them behind. While all life carries with it this possibility, and it is a possibility we are familiar with COVID-19, these disciples felt this disorientation in a unique way. But as you can imagine, by me bringing this text to you, I don't believe they're the only ones who feel this way. Jesus' presence alters how we think and consider our lives moving forward. The question that lies behind the narrative that expresses this disorientation is basically, now what? Now what? While Luke will record this question more eloquently, that is the essential thing, the essential question the disciples ponder as they watch Jesus take them to that place, rise into heaven, ascend, and the two individuals in white appear. Now what? It's a question that begins to touch the disorientation around the edges the disciples are feeling with. This feeling is synonymous in some ways with how I personally feel whenever I ride some sort of a thrill ride at an amusement park or theme park that spins me around. I don't like the way in which I end up. I feel disoriented. The ride may be 90 seconds, but the spinning and the shaking and the movement rattles me all the way down to my core. In that moment, I'm breathing slowly, deeply. I'm looking for a wall, symbolic or real, to lean upon until everything I thought I knew that the disorientation came to is over. That's not really the same thing going on here, though. This disorientation relates not physically to what spins us and makes us feel as though we'll fall, but it relates to expectations and a presumption of how life in and with Christ will flow moving forward. The disciples think they just got to get back to living the way they lived before he died. But that's not going to happen, is it? If that is not enough, twice in this text, the disciples are told about how they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Power. Jesus promises something that they do not fully understand. Twice they are reminded as well that Jesus is going away physically. He is closer to them now than they have ever imagined. If he chose to stay with them forever in a physical way, Jesus could do, though, all the ministry himself. He could meet every need. This resurrected Messiah who battled back and beat death could touch every leper, give sight to every blind person, regardless of blindness being spiritual or physical. If he stays with them forever, they could always fall back on him. He would handle everything. They don't have to step out in faith. He would become the spiritual wall to lean upon. "Don't worry, I'll always do it for you," is what they hoped to hear. He called them to be his witnesses. He called them to build his church. And as he's getting ready to go back to the Father, and as he does in Acts 1, they feel disoriented, expectation shattered, confusion around, uncertainty abounding. In spite of these feelings and in spite of the lack of concreteness from him with the disciples, there is still a calling to live into. In our case, we preach Christ in response to what Christ has done for and in us. We preach Christ because he will come again one day in a manner similar to what our text says. Even if we feel alone or uninspired, we preach his word because we've been given the Holy Spirit not only on Pentecost, which comes in 10 days and which we celebrate in the sanctuary, in the worship space, but we speak about Christ because of the ascension. The fact that we have been left alone, physically only, and we're here to still serve God. This is the exclamation point on the exaltation of Christ at the empty tomb. But exaltation, for all the power and glory it entails, does often imply a distance. Jesus can't stay, because if he did, as I say, they would never grow up. They would never see how deep their faith runs. They would never be forced to step out and say, "This is what I believe. This is why I believe it. This is what it means for me." We preach Christ. They preach Christ. We testify to him because there are days, and we've been living with those for quite some time in this season, when we feel like the disciples, worn out, crushed, too confused to be faithful any longer. We thought we knew a reality. It was taken from us. We gained it back slightly. It was taken again. And there are times when in the midst of that mess, we would rather look up to the sky for answers than confess that Jesus is with us when we're here in that confusion. We have all had days when the grind is too great. All of us have had days when the substance of this world, its moral corruption we work with, makes it difficult for us to think we can affect anything positively. By speaking about the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the presence, the love of Christ in us. But as I have been saying repeatedly, changing culture is difficult and it is painstaking. It is long, especially in the midst of a pandemic. But the ascension tells us something different. This text stands as a reminder, you see, of what he has done for us and how, even if we feel this alone, disoriented, abandoned, in a world that feels lost, that feels like the new normal is not a normal we want, we have a God who lives in us. We are the focus of the text because we are the ones left behind to share the gospel's power with those who feel themselves alone. So we must preach. You must share the word. You must testify to who he is and will be in our lives, in the church's life. We cannot stand on a hillside. You cannot stand on a hillside looking up, hoping for Jesus to do all the work himself for you. For you have witnessed the miracles when you could not imagine or dream them up. This text tells me that while I could choose to stand on a hillside gazing up to heaven, waiting for my master to come and tell me that he's back to save me from being a Christian, I have to get to the work that my calling speaks about. I have to preach in whatever form that preaching takes. The resurrection has occurred in my life. I have seen it happen. I have witnessed it as you have. I have to get off the hillside, go back down into the valley, even if I wish he would come for me, and start sharing the word. For it will call all of our behaviors, our lack of behaviors, into question, and it will call all of us to follow. The ascension of Jesus is a moment of glory, as it is a moment of loss and isolation wrapped up in the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes in 10 days. Even though there is some measure of ambiguity related to what the coming of the Holy Spirit looks like and or how it will shape the church is instructed not only to wait for it, but to act upon it and be joyous because of it. Yes, they are alone in some sense, but in actuality, they are not alone. He is with them, and joy should abound. Those who are faithful are told to get themselves down the hillside, down the mountain, and wait because something wonderful is going to occur in their lives. They are about to find out what happens when they step out in faith and live in unity. In order to become the church, the disciples would have to let go of some of their expectations about what the new future would look like, and instead embrace the truth that while they seem alone, while they feel disoriented, they are neither. They never will be alone. He will not forget them. He has trusted them with something precious, the gospel's message to share. And so they preach. Sometimes we wanted it, and sometimes it was expected because of the steps we had already taken. But God trusts us with his word, and therefore he was ascended, so you might demonstrate your faith in the places where you go. And so today on Thursday, I wonder about your commutes to work, to and from, your appointments you have to keep on your calendar, the limited ways you'll be able to go out into the community because of social distancing and the coronavirus. But I wonder if you'll take a moment to remember the events of the ascension for you, the birth of the church. You are not alone. You are empowered to be in this place. He trusts you with the precious gospel message. So be faithful to it, and God will be with you in ways you cannot imagine. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, we praise you that Christ has ascended to rule at your right hand. We rejoice that before the throne of his power and peace, for he has put down tyrannies that would destroy us and unmask idols claiming our allegiance. We thank you that he is alone as the Lord of our lives. By your Spirit, give us freedom to love with his love and to embrace the world with his compassion. Accept the offerings of our lives that we may obey your commands and serve you in the name of Jesus. For the sake of our Lord and Savior, we ask this. Amen. Go in peace today. The Lord is with you on this ascension. Amen.